Numbers chapter 36. The heads of the fathers' households of the family of the children of Gilead, the son of Machir, son of Manasseh, spoke before Moses and the princes, and they said, Yahweh commanded you to give the land for inheritance by lot to the children of Israel. And my Lord was commanded by Yahweh to give the inheritance of Zelophehad, our brother, to his daughters. Well, that's right. The girls had come and said, look, our father died, and we haven't got a brother. And according to how things are done in society, then his inheritance will pass not to us, but to one of our father's brothers, our uncles. Could it not pass to us? And Moses takes the issue to God, and God says, yes, that is correct. Let the girls have the inheritance, which was all very different to the setup in society of the time. So you see how God values women. He always did throughout the Old Testament, and his attitude to women and to those whom society generally discounted as irrelevant at the time is way ahead of its time. So that is what had been agreed. But now the elders say, Yahweh commanded my Lord to give the land for inheritance to the daughters of Zelophehad. But if they are married to any of the sons of the other tribes of the children of Israel, then their inheritance will be taken away from the inheritance of our fathers and will be added to the inheritance of the tribe to which they now belong. So that area will be taken away from the lot of our inheritance. So Moses gave them a ruling about this. He said, let them therefore be married to whom they will, but only in the family of the tribe of their father. In the case of the daughters of Zelophehad, this therefore was within the tribe of Manasseh. Let them be married to whom they will, but only within the tribe of their father, lest the inheritance be lost. Well, Paul sort of quotes that in the New Testament when he talks about marriage, and he says that a widow is free to marry whom she likes, but only in the Lord. Only in the Lord. And you could take from that the sort of implication that if you marry outside the faith, you risk losing your inheritance. And of course, every marriage is different, every relationship is different. But I think that that is a fair conclusion to draw from the way Paul alludes to this here. Because if your love for God and your relationship with the Lord Jesus is the most central part of your life, you will surely marry someone who also has those things as the most central part of their life. How are you going to raise your children if somebody is not a believer and you are? These are all major issues. So marry a believer. Do not marry outside of the inheritance. Well, it was the concern of Moses, as he said, so that no inheritance of the children of Israel remove from tribe to tribe, for the children of Israel shall all keep the inheritance of the tribe of his fathers. Well, the idea was that each family was to have a specific inheritance, and they couldn't even sell it. At best, if they sold it to somebody, the land returned to them in the Jubilee year, which was every 49th year. It's why Naboth refused to sell his vineyard to Ahab. What that means then is that just as they had their own individual unique inheritance in God's kingdom, we also have a unique inheritance in the kingdom. God is planning something individual for you and me. We're told that the Lord will say to us in the last day, come, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. So God is preparing our place in his kingdom. And just as we're all unique, we've had a unique life, we've got unique characteristics, so it is that we will have a unique place in eternity. We'll be doing something that's unique to you and me. That's why Job says, well, I know that after I'm dead, worms will eat my body, but in my flesh I will see God. In other words, he believed in the resurrection of the body and that he would meet God ultimately, whom my eyes shall see for myself and not another. As if he's saying that somehow there is some unique relationship between God and myself forever and ever. Or as Jesus puts it, I'll give you a stone, and in the stone a name written that only you know and I know. That is, there's going to be something totally unique about our relationship with Jesus. And of course, that's why we must have a unique relationship with Jesus now. It's not just a case of ticking the boxes that I understand certain doctrines and therefore I got baptized. We're called to personal relationship with God and with Jesus. That's why you need to get up early, start each day with prayer directly to God and directly to Jesus, Bible reading, build that personal relationship.